60 years ago today, I came to church down here at this little church below here, and I was 14 years old. And the Lord was about to torment me to death. At night, He appeared to me in dreams. I'd come to church, and they'd preach, and they'd just jump right in my shoes. And everything that I was worried about or thinking about, they talked about. And the Lord was just right on my heels. And I was sitting in the back seat of the church, as close to the door as I could get without Mommy seeing me. I had dressed the very best of my ability because somebody might notice. You wanted that to happen if you could make it happen as a 14-year-old boy. But my heart was tormented because I knew if the Lord came that day, I would not go home with Him. I wasn't ready. And I knew if He came in the night when I was asleep, I would not go home with Him. They might find my body the next morning, but my spirit would not be with the Lord. And I knew I had read Revelation, the whole book, more than once. I had read the book of Daniel. I had studied Matthew 24, Luke 20. I knew that this thing was one day going to wind up. In fact, as I'm surprised we're here, I thought maybe we'd already be gone. And I was just aching to be closer to God, but I didn't want to be a preacher, so I didn't go forward. But on that Sunday, it was a bright, beautiful May day. Sky blue and the sun shining bright. Church was full of people. They'd come from Pulaski and down the coal fields and other places. Church was full of people, and I was on the back seat. Sometime during the service, the Lord visited me. And 60 years ago today, I became a Christian. And I can say what Sister Nellie Mooney used to say when she would testify, every step's been worthwhile. Every step hadn't been fun. Every step hadn't been joyous. But every step's been worthwhile. And I have to tell you, folks, it's worth it to be a Christian. Some of my teachers had come to me in the past and asked me not to waste my intellect on this congregation. Asked me not to waste my time on this holler that we lived in. But I didn't feel like I was wasting my time and don't feel like I have. I'm thankful for every soul that's been saved. And yes, we've worked hard. That's okay. I'd have probably worked hard anyway. It's just in my genes. I inherited it. I'm thankful that I've been able, and I've been preaching since I was saved. In fact, as I preached before, I was saved a little bit to youth groups and things like that. But I'm thankful to be here today and have a testimony of the saving grace and the keeping power of that grace. And I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to believe it. If you're a Christian and you've been saved, God did not save you to lose you. He did not save you to give up on you. He did not save you and just hope that He could drag you in by the skin of your teeth into heaven. My friend, God sent His Son from heaven into the womb of a virgin. I don't believe you can go to heaven if you don't believe in the virgin birth. God sent His Son from heaven into the womb of a virgin. And God appeared to man on this earth. And He lived a sinless life. He died a horrific death on Calvary. He raised, glory to God, a wonderful, glorious resurrection on what we call Easter Sunday morning. And He has ascended to the right hand of the throne of God the Father Almighty, from whence he has promised to come again and to receive us unto himself. And every day, my friends, you get up in the morning and you look at the sky, just think it's a good day for the Lord to come again. And the only question you have is, are you ready for him to come? I'm thankful at 14 years old, the Lord delivered me from a life of hopelessness into a life of hope. And I can know that I know that I know that my sins are gone under the blood of Calvary, washed away forever, to be remembered against me no more. My in-laws might remember them. My fellow workers might remember them. Some politician might remember them. But my friend, if you want to go look at my book in heaven today, it's not good English, but it's great theology. There ain't nothing on it. It's empty. And you say, where is it? The blood washed it away. Now, if you walked over and looked at that other book called The Book of Life, on the second Sunday of May 1961, it says, Edward Dale Kendall, born again for eternity. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you say, well, your health's failing, you're having trouble getting along, and you can't walk like you did. No. I can tell you a few years ago when Lucille sang that song like she did this morning, I'd have been in the aisle with you, Tommy. I would have powwowed up all the way up to the throne of grace. But let me tell you something, my friend. It's just, well, how can I complain? I went 70 years, never in the hospital. Never anything. Just, you know, never even had a tonsillectomy. Never had an appendectomy. Cut my finger off and spent one night in 70 years in the hospital. And if I'd have been a little older, they wouldn't even keep you for that now in the hospital. They could take advantage of your insurance then. I've seen a lot of changes since I became a Christian. But the one thing that's never changed was the grace of God that was extended to me. Praise God. So today I bear you my testimony that I am saved by his grace, bought with the price of his blood, waiting for his coming and the opportunity to see him in peace and to share it with all of you. When I look back in my mind to that day and I think about the people that were there in that meeting, most of the people in that meeting are not with us anymore. And all those mothers, there used to be a whole row of old ladies my grandmother sat in right in the middle of the church. Jenny, your grandma, sat with them. Sister Hurd and all those old ladies. Sister Roberts sat there together. They're all gone from here. But they're not gone. They're gone from here. And I praise God today that I can be assured that if they're in the blood and I'm in the blood, we're going to share eternity together with Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I praise him for his grace. Amen. All right. If this message had a title today, it would be very simply, Mother. Listen to the one scripture that I have for you to look at today. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. This is one of the greatest stories that's ever been told. One of the greatest outlays of facts. In fact, is if this story was not told in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, my friend, you wouldn't understand the rest of the Bible. If you didn't understand the creation and what God did in creation, then my friend, you could not possibly understand things that Jesus said in the New Testament. It's there, my friends, because God wants us to know the story. But now I have some advice, young fellas, for you. Don't take your cue from Father Adam. when you have some young lady introduced to you that you're interested in, the number one thing you don't want to say is, "Mother." They don't want to hear you equating them with your mother. But when Adam was presented with his bride, that's what he said. When Adam was presented with his bride, and think about this, folks. This is better than any soap opera could ever be. I mean, there's no soap opera could come up with this. It's better than any Broadway play that could have ever been imagined. It's better than any Hallmark film, and they all come out right at the end of it. It's better than anything that you can imagine. You say, what is it? Do you think God made anything second class? I don't think so. So if I'm looking at this right, then God is the first minister. So there's nothing wrong with this wedding. The man that puts these two together is the living God who created everything in the universe. And he has brought the first woman that ever existed. In fact, the first female that ever existed. Do you realize that there has never been a female in heaven other than the spirits of saved ladies who have gone on to be with the Lord? Every angel is spoken of as a him. Every demon has been spoken of as a him. Every person associated with God has been spoken of as a him. And then God upped one on Satan and upped one on all of the universe, because you see, God hadn't put his thoughts on Facebook for everybody to read. God hadn't shared all of his little secrets with everybody. And when he made Adam, he wasn't finished until he made Eve. And then God gave him the opportunity to miss companionship. God gave Adam the opportunity to live, we don't know how long, in the garden that he had planted. It was a wonderful place. Life was perfect. The temperature was always right. Adam never saw a bill. Think about that. He never saw a piece of money in his life. Everything he needed was provided for him and right there. And God, in his wisdom, brought all the animals in the world, two by two, to come in front of Adam. And he got to name them. Now, for those of you who believe that man squirmed his way up through the mud out of a primeval sea and somehow shed his fins and his gills and got lungs and legs and arms, for those of you who believe, my friend, that they didn't know much and they grunted around with each other until they created a vocabulary. For those of you who believe that when man came up, he transitioned himself through the monkeys and the chimpanzees and the other people, if you believe that, you need to go to apologize to the monkeys, because they've never done with creation what we have. They've never created a bomb that could destroy a whole city in one instant. They've never created worldwide chaos. They just chatter and jump from tree to tree and eat bananas and berries and flowers and whatnot. If you believe that, my friend, I'm sorry for you. And I beg you this morning to consider the evidence, because Adam was created articulate. Adam could speak from the beginning. He didn't have to learn to speak. He could speak from the beginning. Adam could reason from the beginning. Adam could put things in the categories they belong in from the beginning. And God brought all the animals before him, and he named all the animals in the world. But as he named them and as they went before him, he suddenly realized something. I'm alone. I'm here by myself. This bull here, he has a cow. This buck here, he has a doe. And he went through the whole thing. And everybody had something like himself to compliment him. But you know what? For Adam, there was no one. He saw all of those animals and all of that creation go by, and there was no one for him. And do you know what the Bible said? It was not good. And girls, you'll believe this. It's not good to leave the man alone. No telling what the house will look like when he gets back. But what happened, my friend, was this. Adam was made to realize his loneliness. He was made to realize the situation that he was in. And he was made to yearn for the companionship of another human being, someone like himself, that he could share his thoughts and his dreams, his aspirations. You see, my friend, when we look at Mother Eve being introduced to Adam, we're looking at a number 10 woman being introduced to a number 10 man. Wow, that's as good as it gets. I've seen a few that I thought were number 10s, male and female. I don't know whether they look like Adam or not. Oh, by the way, don't ask me what color Adam and Eve was, because I don't know, and you don't know either. I hear you people talking about where did this race come from and that race come from. We all came from God. God created us all. And my friend, ever how he created us, hallelujah. Amen. And I don't know what color Adam and Eve were. I don't know where they fit in all that. But I know whatever God was doing was good. But I'm going to tell you, when Mother Eve was brought to Father Adam and he looked at her, in this day and time, he'd say, "Babe!" Wouldn't he? Sure he would. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. If we were in today's world, we could think of all kinds of things. You think about this. He is looking at the most beautiful woman on earth. If she's ugly as a mud fence, she's still the most beautiful woman on earth. Because she was only one, there was only one woman. Back to my theology. I don't believe God made anything second class. I don't know what Eve looked like, but whatever it was gorgeous. I don't know what Adam looked like, but whatever it was gorgeous. And he brought them together, and he brought them together for the purpose of them being together and for them sharing their life and their things together. And Adam and Eve, there they stood, having named every animal in the world, having named all the creatures and the divisions of the creatures. Adam looks at this gorgeous creature that's standing in front of him. He say, it's just what he dreamed about. I doubt it. I don't think that Adam could have dreamed about Eve, because he'd never seen a woman. He'd never seen a female human being. He'd seen female animals, but not a female human being. He could not have dreamed about it, but he could have yearned. He could have yearned in his heart for more in this life than to just wander around in a beautiful garden, taking care of the plants and watching everything go by. So my friends, he looks at her and he names her on the spot. And you know what he called her? Called her Eve. Say, do you know what that means? It means life. The word Eve means life. When he looked at Eve, he opened a door of prophecy. You see, God evidently had been talking to Adam. I think it's Mother used to always want to blame you all of her. She'd say, I'd just like to get even with that Eve. Well, I have to tell you, I don't believe Eve's entirely to blame. Because you see, God gave the instructions on how to live in the earth and the instructions on how to live in the garden to Adam, not to Eve, to Adam. So somewhere along the line, Adam is supposed to have translated God's instructions to her. I wonder if when she got her instructions, if they were given to her as well as they should have been. I wonder if maybe Father Adam didn't emphasize what he needed to emphasize. I don't know. We don't, any of us know. But I can tell you, my friends, that Adam loved her so much that when she fell, he did what she did, because if he did not do it, he would have lost her. She would have been damned, and he would have been living, and he could not live with that. So when she ate of the tree and gave it to him, he ate of the tree also. Now, so what's going to happen? Why is it so remarkable that he calls her mother? Why would he look at this gorgeous creature and call her mother? I'll tell you why. Because God had already pronounced the judgment against the human race. Adam should have been dead, and Eve should have been dead. God said, in the time that you eat of this tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. But they didn't die right that minute. They didn't die. So there is something between the time that God says, is God going to tell a lie? No, he's not. Is God going to misjudge? No, he's not. So God says, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. Then God says, when he pronounces the judgment against them, what? What does God say? He says that they are going to be the parents of all these descendants. This is an act of faith. They should have been dead. But between the time that God said that and the time that God brought judgment down upon them was a period of time. And you know what that period of time is called? It's called grace. There was a period of time. God says, you shall surely die. But they didn't die that minute. They didn't die that second. They stood before God naked and undone, unclothed and scared to death, waiting just for the moment when judgment will fall on them and they'll be obliterated. They've never seen death. They don't really know what death looks like. They don't know really what death is like because they've never seen it. Nothing has ever died. No lion has ever slipped out and ate a lamb. No person has ever died. No human, no animal life, nothing of that nature has ever died. So they've never seen death. They don't know what death looks like. But they're afraid of it. And they're scared of it. And God has evidently told them how horrible it is. So it comes this moment of meeting God and man. And here is sinful man and here is holy God. And holy God has decreed that sinful man has to die because of his sin. So what's going to happen? This is an act of faith, because when Adam sees Eve, he said, let's call her life. Why? Why? Because she is the mother of all living. Adam believes that somewhere in this time between the pronouncing of judgment and the execution of the sentence, somewhere between that time, Adam has faith. It's always by faith, my friend. It's always by faith. It's always by faith. It has always been by faith. It will always be by faith. You're not saved by works. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. My brothers and sisters, Adam and Eve have faith. Eve is going to become the mother of all living human beings. What do you mean, all living human beings? The sentence has already been pronounced that human beings who sin die. But God has given this space called grace. and they believe the promises of God. They believe what God says. And my friend, time called grace has been offered. You remember when God came down from heaven and saw the sins of men and that men's imaginations were continually wicked and the earth was filled with violence and God was so disgusted with it, He said, I'm going to send a flood and I'm going to wash this whole civilization away and all that man has done because he sinned so much. And yet, after God spoke that, how long was it before the first drop of rain fell? 120 years. God could have zoomed. He could have zapped an ark into existence, but He didn't. He left that ark to stand there. Huge creation this ark is. And He let it build. It took 120 years for Noah to build it. And day by day it went up. And day by day it was a testimony. And day by day God spoke. The scripture said God in His love and patience did what? He waited. God waited. God waited. And after 120 years, the rain fell and the fountains of the deep were broken up and the atmosphere collapsed onto the earth and everything was covered in water. But it was after 120 years of waiting. God's grace and mercy was there. And my friend, every woman of you here, my friend, are a testimony of the grace of God, because every time you have a little baby and bring another little baby into the world through your body, my friend, you fulfill the prophecies that God had. And my friend, you bring life to this earth. And God did not take us away without mercy, but He gave us time to repent. Yes, we have to die. And yes, we will die. But my friend, because of what happened, they'd never seen death, you see. They'd never seen death. And God came down and was talking to them about their sins. They didn't know what to think, I'm sure. When God reached out in the Garden of Eden, in that beautiful, innocent place that God had created, God reached out and grabbed two little animals. They heard their cry as God destroyed their lives. They saw the blood flow on the ground as they gave up their life. They heard the pulling of the sinews and of the tissues as God skinned the skins off of the animals and made clothing out of them to cover their nakedness. My brothers and sisters, what man had done was to create a little fig leaf apron, but the works of man were not enough to cover his sins. The works of man was not enough to cover what man had done. But God accepted the death of these animals in their place. That's called propitiation, my friend. That's called vicarious sacrifice. God accepted the death of these little animals and their blood on the ground instead of Adam's and Eve. And each time they in faith came before God and offered a sacrifice to God, God remembered that He was a merciful God and God saved them. And my friend, one day, you remember the story of Abraham, how his son was to be sacrificed. And when he raised the knife and Isaac was laying on the altar, the angel reached out and grabbed his wrist and said, don't do that. Said, God has provided His own sacrifice. And he looked in the bushes and there was a little ram caught by its horns. And instead of Isaac dying, the lamb died that he might live. And my friend, the whole human race standing before God, lost and undone without God and on their way to a devil's hell. My friend, and how are we going to save? How are we going to be saved? He said it would be through the woman. It would be through the motherhood that woman would bring to the earth. And my friend, one day the virgin gave forth a son. Satan tried every way to destroy him. Go read it in Revelation. A great red dragon stood ready to devour that little baby when it was born, but he could not, because of the earth swallowed up the flood and saved the little baby. My friend, that little baby was the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, my friend, God looked down from heaven and Jesus hung on the cross. And God the Father turned his face away. And Jesus cried what you never have to cry. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And my brothers and sisters, I want you to know something this morning, that Jesus Christ climbed Calvary's hill and laid himself down on that cross. And they drove the nails in his hands and his feet and put the spear in his side. Oh, hallelujah. But he raised the third day glorious, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he has ascended to God on high, where he stands at the right hand of the Father Almighty. And my friend, he's coming again. And you say, aren't you afraid of him coming? No, I'm not. Aren't you afraid to face that? No, I'm not. My friend, when I was a little 14-year-old boy down that little church down the road there, let me tell you something. I went to bed every night and prayed that Jesus wouldn't come. I went to bed every night and prayed I wouldn't die. I don't know why I didn't pray for him to save me. It would have been just as easy. But I was reluctant to give in. My friend, God pursued me and God pursued you. So I don't know if God's been after me or not. What do you think he was doing on Calvary, folks? He was pursuing you. What do you think he was doing? He was dying for you. And my friend, God Almighty accepted the death of his son, Jesus, on Calvary's cross. That old lady Kendall and all of you all and all the people in the world could live. My friend, what a statement of faith that was on the part of Adam and Eve, that they believed that Eve was going to be the mother. If they're going to be the mother, then they can't be dead. My friend, even though we all die, we all live. We all live. Isn't that what he said? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. My friend, Lucille, you're right. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. The Apostles' Creed that we subscribe to, my friend, says very clearly, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Yes, my body goes to the earth, and yes, my spirit goes to the God who gave it. But my friend, one day, out of the portals of glory, Jesus Christ is going to step across the Milky Way and walk down the golden stairs of heaven to this earth. And my friend, the graves are going to open and the bodies of those that sleep in him are going to come to life and come out of that grave. And my friend, they're going to walk with him back up to glory and sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go? Oh, my friend. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Miss the fire department's barbecue. Miss your dental appointment. Miss your lawyer's appointment for sure. Miss whatever you got to miss. But let me tell you, my friend, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Don't let death come to your door and you not be ready to meet God. My friend, he's given you time. He's given you time. Everybody. Not going to have as much time as I've had. I mean, I was saved when I was 14. And God's still dealing with me and walking with me, talking with me every day that I live. And I have an assurance of heaven. And my friend, if I die before I get out of this holler, don't worry too much about it. It'll be all right anyway, because I'm going home to be with Jesus. Amen. Would you stand? If I don't hush, I'll preach all day. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come into your presence. We thank you for your grace and for your love and for all that you've done for us. And Lord, when I look at Mother Eve standing there before the Almighty God, and I realize the faith that Adam and Eve had in believing that even though death had been pronounced, she was not the mother of the dead, but she's the mother of the living. And I thank you, Father, that you've given us life and you've given it to us more abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Bless this audience, Lord, and the audience that will hear this on the radio and those who will hear it on CDs. God, wherever this message goes, let the Holy Spirit go and let the hearts of men and women be touched And Father, save to the uttermost. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Sanctify us with your Spirit and draw us close to you. And we look forward to seeing you again. Maranatha, may you come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's sing, Sheltered in the Arms of God.